Have blessed our soil and blood.
It was meant to be.
We carry it on through drought and flood.
It was meant to be.
We built this land upon our graves.
It was meant to be.
As fortune favors just the brave.
It was meant to be.
Don't worry, child, don't you fear at all. Don't worry, child, we will kill them all. Don't worry, child, don't you fear at all. Don't worry, child, we will kill them all.
Warning, the following program contains jokes that may get you contacted by the RCMP. Do not attempt any of these stunts at home. If dark humor mixed with current events hurts your feelings, then go fuck yourself. Viewer's detention is advised.
Everybody to another Plaid Army stream. It's a stream that I never even thought that I would have to do one day. As most of you probably know, one of the original Plaid Army members has passed away. This was the four original Plaid Army members, and I believe it was AJ Elicits that joined not too long after that. But that was back in... Let's remove that banner. 2019. I had met Mark in 2018. Yeah, I never thought this a day like this would come where I'd have to talk about that. Am I quiet?
Do I have to turn this mic up and shit?
No, that's everything is about as loud as it's going to get, so maybe I'm not using the right microphone here. Check and make sure. Is that one better? Is that better? You can hear the crickets? Well, that's something you're just going to have to deal with. They're going to be there. Yeah. Yeah, rest in peace, Mark. Yeah, that I downloaded one of Mark's beginnings. And he had the volume cranked on it, so... There's probably a little different there. But yeah, I've had to think about this for a couple of days now, and I really didn't want to do this stream. I don't like doing a eulogy or anything like that. But Mark's worth remembering. He was a lot of things. Like, he was a father, a brother, a husband, a leader, a freedom fighter, a community organizer. You could call him a politician, I suppose, but he wasn't your traditional style of politician. But he was also an arborist. He was an ex-CO, correctional officer. But the most important thing, I think, was that he was an honest man. He always did what he thought was right. And you can't fault a man ever for doing so. Down in the description of all the different channels you could be watching on, there is a link to his Give, Send, Go. And I'll put it in the chat as well. Oh, that's not the one. I think I've got it up here. Yeah. Because he does leave behind a wife and kids. So if anybody has anything extra, I know it's hard right now, especially with the economy we're going through. But if you could spare anything, I'm sure his wife would appreciate it. Yeah, Mark was one of the very first Plaid Army members. So it's kind of sad to be doing a Plaid Army stream when he's not around anymore. Thank you, Justice for Fathers, HH. Back at you. Yeah, thank you, Breezy, for posting that at the top of the Rumble. I'm putting it on the other... in the other chats. Yeah, it's definitely a sad day. I actually had a whiskey sour the other night. A friend made it. Because that was Mark's drink. I should have one tonight, but we did celebrate his life the other night. Yeah, Mark was a good man. He was one of the first people to be talking about the United Nations Sustainable Development Agreement. I started talking about the United Nations Global Compact on Migration, and it was around that time that Mark figured out the UNSDA. And he had been hammering on that and Agenda 2030. He constantly bring guests on to his show to talk about it. He had had plenty of channels erased because of his views. He had to deal with a lot of slander as well. Like, a good, honest man had to deal with a lot of shit flinging at him. Like, people that couldn't even hold a flame to his torch were trying to criticize him for what he was talking about. calling him a racist and calling him many, many different things. But he most certainly was not. Yeah, he was all over the WEF. Big man. Like, he was at least 250, you know, on his heavier days. Yeah, he asked Pierre face-to-face about the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I don't know if I put my lighter. Did I lose it? I have a couple of clips of him as well. Yeah, he had dementia, and he had recently been diagnosed with, is that Lou Gehrig's disease? ALS? He had a few health problems, though. It wasn't just that stint that everybody talked about with his fucking time in the hospital, where he lost a lot of weight. And he did bounce back from that, but his health was never the same after. I remember the first time I met Mark, actually. He was, a lot of people don't know this, but there was a convoy prior to the convoy. Mark was part of that. And, I mean, it was a mixed bag of grievances. They ended up calling it the Yellow Vest Convoy and anti-Trudeau convoy, a bunch of things. But I think that one actually ended up getting a bit subverted in the end, which was sad. Mark was telling me about it, actually. And, yeah, it was the first time I met him. We had been doing streams together for a while prior to that, talking about a whole slew of different issues. And he, you guys hear a couple of shots being fired off? yeah, it was the first time I met him. Me, Mike Selinsky, and Peter Salemi drove out to Ottawa for that convoy. And they actually shut her down. They got right around Parliament and shut the whole thing down. Yeah, he was also Canada First, one of the originals. Well, not original. I mean, if you want to go back to fucking Mackenzie King or Laurier and all those different guys, they were doing Canada First. But yeah, it was me, Jeremy, Greg Wyclef, and Mark Friesen. We're sitting around just shooting the shit, just same as this. I think we were doing it on Sunday nights. And I remember they used to call me out when I wouldn't come and stream. Ah, you're being lazy, or you're weak. It's because I had to get up before everybody else in the morning. Yeah. Fucking the first convoy. Not too many people remember it. It was more dump trucks and loader trucks and stuff like that. And, yeah, we'll play a couple of videos for him. I saw this picture of him that somebody posted. I thought this was really good. I think that's the one they used for his actual, funeral. Sorry if I'm a little out of it tonight. I'm not used to doing this. I'm still reflecting on everything Mark left behind. And you don't get a chance to do that too often. You should be doing it more often when people are alive. So it's pretty sad that a true warrior has left us. This was the video of him and when he confronted Pierre.
How you doing? What's your name? Mark, thanks for coming. Hey, we'll do a shot here.
I have one question I have for you.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to answer.
Fire away.
You've denounced the World Economic
yes.
Forum vehemently.
Yes.
Do you denounce the UN Sustainable Development Agenda, the SDGs?
I haven't read it, so I don't know what it is.
You haven't read it?
No, I haven't.
That's interesting.
Do you want to do a shot?
Sure.
All right.
Well, very good. Thank you.
All right. I'll have to look at it.
Yes, you will.
I don't, I have a simple rule. If I haven't read it, I don't comment on it.
You need to read it. It's extremely
thank
important.
Thank you for the good recommendation.
Absolutely.
I'll have a look at it.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
That fucking two-faced goof, Pierre. Oh, I haven't read it. No, I actually believe that. I believe he hasn't fucking read it, but you know damn well what it fucking is. You're going to tell me that you were second in charge while it was signed and you didn't know what it was? Well, the UN wants something. We're just going to sign it. Yeah, I lied right to Mark's face. That actually turned quite a few people off the CPC. Yeah, and Mark was one of the originals for the PPC. I think that was actually the second time I ever met him. Was the PPC National Convention, and that was the same. Actually, that was the first time I met Greg Wyclef as well. Was at the PPC convention because I didn't know who he was at first. I didn't recognize Greg. Like, people always look different from YouTube than when you see them in real life. There was a lot of people that go all the way back to those times. Mark also started working on the Buffalo Party, I think it was called, for Saskatchewan. That was one thing he never stopped doing, was fighting. Well, up until the last few months of his life, I suppose. Like, I had only met Mark a handful of times. I met him at the first convoy, the PPC convention, after Jeremy's fundraiser. Because he didn't make it to the second convoy. I met him when I... He came out to the Road Rage Terror Tour as well, but you could tell he was not doing well at that point. He could barely talk. We had a drink together backstage and got to talk to him, but he wasn't really speaking in full sentences back then. But you could see the pain in his eyes. Like, he was always ready to cry, and he was worried about leaving his wife behind and his family and stuff. He felt like his work wasn't done. I think in the back of the head, I might have known that was the last time I was going to speak to him. Might be an odd thing to say, but I think so. He also had a hand in working with, what was that German politician's name again that I photobombed with the flag? What the fuck was his name again? Her name again? I always forget. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you just fine.
Right on.
What was the name of that German politician that I photobombed with the flag? Do you remember her?
The chain smoker, alcoholic lady?
Christine Anderson, that was it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark had also met with her and helped her out. Yeah, I was just sharing a few memories of meeting Mark and the few times that I actually did get to meet him.
Yeah, I saw some of that. Felt bad. I want to leave you here by yourself. I fucking...
I was six or seven hours
since Wednesday night, so I'm fucking struggling right now. But
yeah, I appreciate you coming on. I was just saying how we're the... That was the original Plaid Army. It was me, you, Greg, and Mark.
I remember that night. It was a lot of fun.
Could have been short-lived, but...
We had a good laugh.
Yeah. Well, there was quite a few good laughs. I was watching a few of our streams together because a lot of them are archived on altcensored.com. So I had to go back and watch a few of those, listen to his voice again and such. Yeah, just a good man. There's not too many people you could... Like, I'd only met him a handful of times, but we knew each other because we talked plenty of times off screen, on screen, shot the shit about each other. You know what's... He was the first person I ever mentioned to that I thought BJ Dichter was an agent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy, you know?
Yeah, fuck. That would have been like the beginning of 2019, I think.
Yeah, he hauled ass. He did a lot of work.
Yeah, he did.
Put a lot of time. and money and energy into everything he was doing. He was all over the place. BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan. He drove around a lot. Did a lot of these town halls, trying to educate people and so on.
Put a lot of kilometers on his truck driving all over the province and the country, really.
He did a lot of heavy lifting for the PPC, who did not appreciate him at all and treated him like shit.
Yeah. That was sad how that turned out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm very tired, so I'll just, you know, maybe excuse me ahead of time, depending on how this goes, but just a little bit cranky maybe, but I don't like to be that guy, but somebody has to once in a while, and typically sometimes in the show like this happens, everybody just kind of goes, and as you should, you know, he's a great guy, this, and that. I like to remind people how they were fucking shitheads to him.
Yeah.
And
there was a lot of that. There's still people being shitheads today on Twitter when I share his memory and stuff. That they're still shit talking in his comments. Like, that honestly just reflects on the people saying it, not so much on Mark.
Yeah, he put up a lot of shit.
What kind of shit that Mark had to deal with. I know we take it. You know, we get a lot of shit thrown at us. I get that for some of the things we say. But Mark was never abrasive or rude. He was always kind of monotone. He never got excited.
I've seen him be excited.
Have you?
A little bit. Yeah, he did a couple. He was a good public speaker, too. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was also a public speaker, yeah.
He did a couple good ones in Saskatoon when I first started doing that. Went out to a few with him. But yeah, he like did a lot of work for a lot of people, and they did not appreciate him at all and didn't give him the credit and the support that he earned and should have been given. And a lot of, you know, back to what you said a little bit earlier, a lot of people in the country, I've learned over the last 10 years or so, are enormous pieces of shit. Like, most people are not fucking worth the air that they steal. And Mark was one of the few honest, good fucking men that there were. So
he was that. You know what? That's the word for him. He was an honorable man. Yeah. I don't think I ever found a honest person that would talk shit about him.
Yeah. He tried, man. He hauled ass, especially through those elections and all the messaging and everything afterwards. And the shit that they put them through, and his family, and then we got sick, which,
it was rough on the family.
I'm not going to get conspiratorial or anything, but, you know, like you said, there was something wrong with him after he got out of the hospital. And there was a lot of people making threats and saying things they were going to do to him while he was in there. And there was a lot of very opinionated health professionals that, you know, one of the guys was like bodyguarding him. For a long, like as much as he could, flew out there and was like staying with him as much of 24/7 as they could, because it was that much of a concern that, like, if we leave him alone for 5 minutes, they're going to come in here and stick him with all kinds of shit.
He literally sat by his bedside the entire time. And I remember picking him up and driving him out to Salim Mansour's house for dinner, which is out in Kitchener. It's like, it's the least I could do, because they had transferred Mark from Saskatchewan to Toronto General, or was it?
It was somewhere in Toronto. Yeah, it was Sean Taylor.
It was one of them. Yeah,
Sean Taylor.
Sean Taylor. Yeah, and I picked up Sean. I wasn't sure if we were going to say his name publicly or not, but
I just figured, like, you know, I don't know why. It's like you could infer any number of guys. Like, no, for a good friend of Mark's, and you know, that's a big. It's a lot, man. To just it wasn't a couple of days. It was like weeks. Or months, even. I don't know how long we've seen
Mount Sinai. That was it. Did you cut out there for a second? Or are you there? Well, there, it looks like you're back.
Yeah, was it me doing that, or fuck's
it? I don't know. Could have been me too. Alex Wood says, "Boss, go to bed."
Oh, there's no time for that. I got more shit to do, apparently.
Get all the sleep we need when we're dead.
Yeah, it's been nasty. I mean, slept like 40 minutes on the plane. I was just in Montreal for a few days. Getting beat up. What was I saying?
Sean Taylor. Driving him, taking care of him, and a lot of his own expense as well.
Yeah, it was months and months. And, well, that's, you know, people always want, they won't do anything unless they're going to get paid for it. And it's like, that's not how the world works. You know, if you want something done, you got to go make it happen. And, Mark had problems with his lungs before. And then he had like a pneumonia, some kind of situation like that. I remember I talked to him. He was getting sick and then went into the hospital. I was on like talking to him on the phone like days before he went into the hospital and then was put into a coma. He was in a coma for like a month, wasn't he, or longer?
They had him under for a while. It could have been upwards of a month, if not more.
Yeah, I remember not touch and go if he was going to survive that, but.
I remember just thinking it's not much point in going to visit somebody that was in a coma. I was going to wait until after. Because I didn't have a doubt that he was going to pull through. It was this weird thing that I'm like, I think he's a big enough, strong enough guy that he's going to be able to withstand this. And that was that was when he was in the hospital. But it was hard watching him deteriorate, watching Jenicky post the different pictures about him, but... I know she was doing it just to keep people updated with how he is because there's a lot of people asking and whatnot. But
Well, I mean, we met him on the tour and he was struggling a little bit. There was something going on and it was not, you know, I had concerns. And then I, you know, talked to his wife after and she was, there was something going on. And again, I don't know. It just, the timing of that, considering what was going on at the time, when he was in the hospital and things that were being done to people and a lot of people had radically negative health consequences as a result of some medicinal distribution that was being done at the time, if we all remember. So, I don't know. I'm suspicious, but what can you do?
I don't know. I remember talking to Mark about Europa. When I first watched it, because me and Mark used to talk quite a bit years ago, not so much, you know, in the recent years, but we talked about Europa, and I was like, Jeremy got me to watch this fucking video. And have you seen it yet? He's like, yeah, I've watched it. Really, you knew about this? He's like, but what can you really? He didn't really want to talk about it. Like he was still. He's like, whether he looked at it the way we look at flat Earth, it doesn't matter if it's true. I'm still going to run for office and do what I can to get into power, and just if it means not talking about that stuff so I could get into power to help people, then I'm not going to talk about it. So he made his choice not to, but he was aware.
Yeah, he's a good guy, man. I spent some time with him and hung out with him, talked to him a bit when I was living in Saskatchewan. I didn't have the greatest fucking go out there. You're aware, as other people were. So he was a good friend and was helpful. And it sucks.
I always looked at him as a bit of a peer, right? He always knew how to act properly.
He was just a reliable guy. If you needed help, he would, he could. He had his shit together. He was a fucking grown man he did a whole career as a correctional officer. He, had his own business. He was as an entrepreneur running his own business while doing politics on the side. And then this shit on the side.
Yeah.
While with a bunch of kids and
he had four, wasn't it? Do you have four or three?
I know I met two of his sons. There might be one or two more. I don't know.
Because I remember they went out on some portaging trip or canoe trip, kayak, whatever it was, and he had to get airlifted out of the forest. Do you remember that? It was lack of potassium.
Oh shit!
Yeah, that was.
When was that?
Long before it was before COVID, I think.
Oh okay.
I'm pretty sure. I'd have to ask his wife.
Oh, maybe I do. Maybe I do kind of remember that now.
He had to get airlifted out of the end of that. he bounced back really quick after that. It was just a lack of potassium.
Yeah, and, but he, I mean, in my opinion, he should have been running the PPC. He was the strongest guy by far. And the whole thing around Bernier was just, he was like a brand name to these people, right? But Bernier didn't know jack shit about anything, nothing. Brax Bernier didn't know a fucking thing about anything. And everything that he thinks he pretends to know to pander to whatever Indians now mostly, but the UN and all that stuff, that was all freezing. Taught him all that stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't know anything. He's oblivious. He's in fucking parliament. He's in the government for how long? And, you know, Mark Friesen shows up and he's like, do you not know about any of this shit? And he's like, ooh, can I have some more money? Cool. You know, not impressed. But like, it just pisses me off, man. Like,
yeah,
it's all, that's what happens. The good guy always gets fucking trampled, you know?
Yeah, it's tough to see them not do anything for him. I'm sure Daniel would have. Daniel knew Mark for a long time as well, Tyree.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their relationship is, but and Mark drove fucking Bernier all over the place, like all over Western Canada. Like, he just put everything into this and didn't so much as get a fucking pat on the back. And that's not me talking out of school. I asked his wife. I was like, nothing. Nope. No longer useful. So
that's sad.
Oh well, I'm gonna go off and do so. I have no fucking time or respect for any of these fucking purple dickheads. They're the worst. They're worse than because they're the worst. They're all politicians, but they're the worst ones of trying to pretend to be. They're not politicians. They're just a lot of. There's a lot of shitty fucking people in there, and that's why everybody's bounced and run away. Like, it's, you know, not really a thing anymore. But they'll grift and try to, you know, Max has got to get another cottage or whatever, get some more property in another country or something, Florida, whatever the fuck he's doing.
It was a shame that first year of PPC was a real, it seemed like there was a real chance. Like, there was a lot of influencers in that party as well. But, you know, bigger influencers than I was at the time, like Laura Lynn, Tyler Thompson.
Oh.
Do you remember?
There was some cheating that went on, I think. Because I was in Saskatoon, and I was like right there with them the whole time. And it was just, there was a lot of sketchy things that didn't make a lot of sense. With the way that election went, and you know, we know, like, oh, we found 270,000 ballots that we didn't count. Oh well, or whatever. Remember that? And anyone
that
can be
every year. People,
all kinds of, and it's all in pencil. And it's like we were at the kind of reception party, and they were calling writings before the votes were even in. They're like, we're still counting them. Like, no, we have the numbers. Like, how is that? How can you possibly have the numbers if they're still counting them? Like, I'm looking at them. They're still counting them. And on TV, it says it's done. How is that fucking possible? Like, this whole thing is... I knew, right? That was 2021, right? I was like, right that night, right then, I was like, well, I just started dummying whiskey. I'm like, this is bullshit. This is never going to fly. And I was like, done with politics after that. Like, I'm not doing this election bro shit ever. It's fake. It's not real. They can just... It's like Stalin. It's like, it doesn't matter who votes. It doesn't matter who counts the votes. Me and CB... It felt to me like CBC already had... like the numbers they were going to put up, and there's like, just, you know, start putting them out around 8 o'clock or whatever, regardless of what they actually are. Just, you know,
I believe it.
Yeah. You know, that's what it felt like. And Mark, me and Mark talked about this. We were driving around Saskatoon and there was no campaigning from the conservatives at all. None, like none. There was no signage. There was no events, nothing anywhere. And he was like, everybody I talked to is on our side. Like, he's out there all day, every day. And he's getting big crowds. He's getting like hundreds of people were coming out all over the city. And, no, the whole city just, whoosh, everything went to the, it didn't make a lot of sense. And the other guys too, Kevin and Gudo and stuff, we were like, what the fuck is going on around here? So pretty crooked, you know, I think it's very corrupt.
But, I don't doubt it until people start looking at a way to be able to have the vote counters held accountable. There's always going to be cheating.
Well, I don't even think it's them. I think it's like they can do this whole exercise, but they have to send the votes from A to B and B to C and C. At some point, you just put your finger on the scale. And then from there outward, it's whatever you say it is. It's like the people that sent, they're not going to know. We're supposed to have like a lot of oversight. There isn't. There's it's very ridiculous. Like this whole thing, you vote in pencil for fuck's sakes, man. It's a joke. So.
Yep. I actually thought you guys had a chance. I remember the headlines afterwards of that night, because Maxime Bernier came on the stream and did a shot with me. If you remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that whole night. He was going to win as well. I'll be right back.
I mean, they weren't winning the election, but that they only did the number of the votes that they got was, especially in you know, participating in the.
Sorry, I was cutting the internet there for a sec. Yeah. One sec. I'm just going to grab a beer there. Sorry about that. I was actually going to play another video of Mark there.
Something. For,
that's going to be a bit weird, too, eh? I think this may be the first influencer that we've known, that we, or that friend that we've been close to.
I can't tell if this is chopping in or out, or what's going on.
And, can you hear me?
Hang on, fuck's sake.
Anyways, I was just saying, it's going to be weird because there's this memory of Mark on the internet now. Like, you can still go to his YouTube channel and watch him in real life, or 2 life, or 2.0 life, or 0.5 life, whatever it is. It's, there he is. There.
But down to one internet connection now, so.
One, oh, nope. Where are you?
Oh, you're a noise gate. That's what's going on. It's turning on and off and making me think like it's disconnecting.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was just going to play a video of Mark anyway. Where is it?
All right, so here it is, folks. Saturday, October 21st, 2023. We come together en masse across this country, demonstrating against Agenda 2030, an agenda created by an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity, imposing their will on our lives because our politicians have committed to this agenda numerous occasions. There's still people that refer to this as a conspiracy theory. It's as real as rain. We all know this. Everybody in the freedom movement knows that it exists, and this is what they're attempting to do, with the help of the World Economic Forum as a support mechanism, led by Klaus Schwab, who comes from Nazi stock. You've never voted for this. You've never had an opportunity to vote for this. Because they've all kept it from you. They've kept it from you because it wasn't politically expedient for them to come and tell you about it. In 1992, Brian Mulroney, after he signed it, it's not like he came back to Canada, tasked all his MPs to go back to their communities, their constituents, and let them know what it is that they committed to. No, what they did, actually, with the help of the media, is they framed it as conspiracy theory. And kept it from all Canadians up until recently. Justin Trudeau has sort of let the cat out of the bag on numerous occasions that this agenda, this is what he's attempting to achieve, are the 17 goals of sustainable development, which consists of digital ID, CBDCs, SOGI, a complete transformation of how we live in this country, complete transformation from the values of Western civilization, the values that founded Western civilization. It's going to completely destroy that. It's going to turn into 15-minute cities, where you're surveilled, where you have to walk
Yeah. He had many videos like that out there constantly. Some had gone super viral, like he was actually quite famous on Facebook, Mark. Yeah, Craig, that was actually who you sent the ivermectin out to was for me. And that was for Mark in turn. That's funny. I've forgotten about that. Yeah, fuck, that's fucking a long time ago, that. That sucks. Your internet's not going well? I tried to invite Greg Wyclef as well, but he must be busy tonight.
This internet is fucked. I can't tell what the hell's going on. It's cutting out constantly. I don't even think you can hear me.
I just heard that, but I don't know if we're synced up well enough to have a conversation. But I wasn't going to stay on too long tonight anyway, but...
It's almost time for me to fucking go on vacation for a while anyway. The fucking law's coming in. I'm going to be out of commission for a while.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. If it's not working, it's not working. We can do it another night. Sounds like there's much of a delay there, too. Brian says, I didn't know Mark, but a few men die with their honor intact. Sounds like he was such a man. Rest in peace. He was. He was a good dude. Like I say, I can't think of anybody that can say anything bad about him. And if you are, that actually says more about you than anything else. I don't think I had any more videos of Mark, but you could still go onto his channel, like I was saying. And look back on the legacy he left behind. I think Jenneke was mentioning about... I think they shut down his Facebook profile. But I think they do that when people die anyway. Ferryman? Oh, I can't speak on where he is. He's on a top secret mission right now. Nope. CBC will find out where he is eventually. Speaking of CBC, did you guys see the latest on us? It was pretty good. I enjoy these when I watch them now. There's no other way to say it. So we'll move on to that, but I don't want to talk about Mark all night because I could. But, yeah, you know what, we'll play his intro one more time, and we'll have a drink for Mark, and then we'll move on with the rest of the show, but all I can say is thanks, Mark. Thanks for leaving an impression so big that you're worth remembering. Yeah, it's gonna suck. Not having him around. He was a big influence in a lot of things that people take for granted today. Like, I'm not sure I would know about the United Nations Sustainable Development Agreement if it wasn't for Mark. I think he was pushing it even before, like, the Faith Goldies and Dan Dix and stuff like that. I think he was onto it. If not, he was pushing it a fucking hell of a lot more. And he also had the forum for... What was the new one he was doing? The forum for... F-O-R-U-M, but it stood for something. Yeah, I forget what it was. But let's remind you guys again, if you do want to donate to Mark, you can. It's pinned in the Rumble chat, but I'll drop it in the rest of the chats. Just to, if anybody wants to donate. I know his wife could use the help. Probably give, I'll probably give him a call, or give her a call, sorry, Monday, tomorrow, or the next day, or something. And give her my condolences. I can't make it out to Saskatchewan for the funeral, or else I would. But, anyways, we'll play this and we'll move on.
This puppet show stays on because of you.
Forum for Canadian Sovereignty. That was the last one he was working on. Cheers, Mark. Alright, let's make fun of some fucking people, shall we? Should we start with Indians or my new favorite series, fucking Elliot Page? I don't know what it is, but they're putting Elliot Page into a bunch of these new... or just famous roles, and it's fucking hilarious to me. So, you guys get to enjoy them with me. I don't know who fucking came up with this idea, but it's my new favorite genre, that's for sure. Fuck. They're so good. Alright, we'll do one more, and then maybe we'll get into some Indians, some other shit.
King Xerxes offers his respect, ma'am. All he asks is that Sparta kneels a simple bow and your people will be spared.
Don't call me ma'am!
My apologies, miss. Xerxes is generous, he only wants your loyalty. Surely even a delicate thing like yourself can understand that.
I said don't fucking misgender me!
Ma'am, calm down. No need to get emotional.
It is Sir!
There was another one with Rocky and Dolph Lundgren, but I couldn't find that one afterwards. I think that's just some of the funniest shit I've ever seen. Like, when the internet decides to pick on somebody, it's over. Like, whatever happens to a kid, if you go viral at 10 years old because you put fucking chocolate chip cookies on your butt and let the dog eat it, then you're that guy forever. If you fucking fall down the stairs and fucking your ass is hanging out at the end of the video, you're that guy forever. Nobody will ever know you for anything else. It's like that guy you see from school. You haven't fucking seen him in 20 years, but you still call him by his nickname way back then. Like, he got a bad haircut once and you just called him, hey, Fluffy Head, or something like that. He'd be Fluffy Head for the rest of his fucking life. Even if he'd gone on to be a lawyer or whatever the fuck else, you know him as fucking Fluffy Head. Anyways, what else we got for you guys here? There's a new construction company that Beep Boop Waffin is pushing. Pajit Construction, I think.
Hey, man, thank you for joining me today. We are going to be reshitting our home. Normally, people only put on one coat of shit, but we don't believe in that around here. Not with Pajit Construction. You get minimum 3 coats. 3 coats. Don't forget to call me for an estimate today, my friend. Thank you very much, and I will go to work.
It's only going to get worse and worse. You're not going to be able to fix White's to Jeet relations anymore. Not that they were ever a thing. They might have had a shot, you know, if they only sprinkled one or two in a town across the entire country, but instead it's fucking thousands, and Whites just can't live with Jeets. It's getting worse. This guy ends up mooning them. I wonder what mooning Jeets means in their culture. I hope it's offensive.
Yeah, what's up? What's up, motherfucker?
I'm gonna call the police.
Motherfucker?
I'm gonna call the police.
Yeah, call the police, you dumbass motherfuckers. What? I can't understand your fucking accent.
Pull down here.
Pull down what?
I'm just
calling what?
911.
Shut your mouth.
Take pictures and videos.
Why are you running
away? No, I'm just calling you. I'm taking the photograph. Oh my god. Yes. Do you want to take my photograph? What? 911.
I don't care what the white guy did. I'm on his side. Yeah. Doesn't matter. What else we got for you? Because this is what they're flexing on Instagram about. Literally, that's what they're posting on the internet. Right in our faces. Do you think the police are doing anything about it? It's going to be hard trying to do anything about it. They all look the fucking same, and they have the same name. A little confusing, isn't it, law enforcement? We're looking for Harpreet Singh. Oh, which one, my friend? There is four living in this house. There's Harpreet Junior Singh, Harpreet Senior Singh, Harpreet Poop Singh, and Harpreet Passwinder Singh. There's fucking people are everywhere in this country, too. It's going to be rough on a lot of whites when they wake up, seeing what's happening. Like, living up north, I don't think people realize how bad it is in Brampton and in Surrey and that. Like, I don't think they have any idea just how saturated, what 500,000 people a year look like into this country. Because they might be sprinkled up here in the north a little bit here and there. You see them at the fucking gas station or convenience store, but they all go hide in a little jeet hive somewhere. Then there's a town gets to a point where you're just like, what the fuck happened? Why is there brown people fucking everywhere? We've been invaded. You're being colonized. They're flying their flags at your government buildings. Yeah, it happened. While you're too busy fucking worrying about COVID, hockey, and a whole bunch of other things, they're flaunting it in your face. We're supposed to accept them into our country and as part of the Canadian identity. Yet we can be charged by discriminating against them because of their identity characteristics. So they come in here and they get their own identity, but they could just claim ours as well? How does that work? Like, you gotta understand that everything has been stacked against you, white man. They get a protected status in this country, but they also get to call themselves you. Have access to your tax money, have access to your public services, access to the same contracts and economy, and actually having a better chance in that economy and better chance at those contracts because people want diversity, more diversity. They get all the advantages. You got white privilege. How dare you enjoy the privileges that your ancestors worked for you for? That's white privilege. We tried, or the British Empire tried, to spread white privilege to everybody by going to these shithole third world countries and giving them railroad tracks and commerce and fucking schools and hospitals. Tried to share the privilege, but you want a decolonization. And now all your infrastructure is falling to shit and you blame the fucking white people or the British Empire for stealing and looting all of your shit. But it wasn't... They try to say prior to Britain coming in, they were 27% of the world's economy, or they were 40%. Then they went down to 3%. That's because of industrialization. And that was it. It wasn't because of the British Empire. They were trying to bring you into the industrialized age. They were trying to do you a fucking favor. You got white privilege. We gave you white privilege. You fucking shit on it. Why would we think that bringing the same people that shit all over the stuff that we left behind for them come over here, they're not going to shit all over our stuff too? We know they fucking are. You got white privilege. Alex Woods says they want us to accept them, not forever, just long enough until it's too late. Pretty much, yeah. Should we watch? I think we should watch this so we'd be able to pause it. I want to be able to comment on it. I haven't actually watched the full version of this yet. I saw what Second Sons put up on the account. But I haven't watched this thing in the full yet, so we're going to watch this live. This is CBC's latest piece on us. So... we know they're watching. We know you guys watch it, or you use AI to watch this shit. Gun, bomb, knife. Explosives. Yeah, we'll play this for you guys. Live reaction.
Canada's largest white supremacist group is training with fascist fight clubs in the U.S., growing a global network, preparing for what they say is a race war.
The race war is here.
For the first time since their formation, Second Sons Canada is promoting how it sent members south of the border, meeting with some of the most prominent white nationalist groups in the United States, and the founder of the whole movement.
I'm for pro-white, I'm for putting my race above everything else.
Through public Telegram posts, videos, and images, we track them from Texas to a major gathering in South Carolina.
It's very...
I know you guys want to watch this, but I wanted to see that picture again. Why is he looking at a black guy working out on his other screen and then looking at our telegram on this one? That's basically his black porn. This white guy is watching a black guy work out and exposing white supremacist man on the other side. Or is that a subtle advertisement for somebody? Anyways.
Videos and images, we track them from Texas to a major gathering in South Carolina.
It's very significant that we're seeing Canadians travel across the border. It is getting more and more coordinated by the day.
Second Sons Canada describes itself as a men's nationalist club. But based on our previous reporting and expert analysis, it's more like what's called an active club. Active clubs are a global movement of white nationalist fight clubs who gather to train in combat sports. They're founded by this guy, Robert Rundo.
I put my people first. You know, this fun in fascism.
What we're seeing is a growing white supremacist movement that orients itself around physical activity, who are using these activities as conduits into white supremacist radicalization and mobilization.
Here's the leader of Second Sons, Jeremy McKenzie, giving a Nazi salute. And
I've forgotten how to be able to watch this as a normie. I just see this entire thing as a puff piece for us. Like, I should go into ask the guys how many applications we're getting right now. If you're watching, application acceptor, let me know how many are coming in, because this just seems like a puff piece.
The group openly welcomes neo-Nazis. Here's their vice president, Alex Wren.
We do have National Socialist members. I'm not going to lie about that.
We've spotted American active clubs coming to Canada before. They were present at a meeting in 2024, hosted by the Ontario-based group NS13, which we geolocated to Goderich, Ontario. And also last summer, in Haldimand County, in southern Ontario. We discovered the location by finding these wind turbines in the background of this Telegram video. Second Sons has held demonstrations across Canada, but this is the first time it's posted images of its members in the United States. According to Telegram posts in late March, they traveled to Texas for their first meetup with Lone Star Active Club, based around Dallas. We've geolocated these images to verify them, and we find that their first meetup was in the city of Fort Worth. The two groups can obviously be seen at the Fort Worth Stockyards, but also at a major gym. And here they are at a private gym used by the Lone Star Active Club. This place was first geolocated by the Texas Observer.
This is very much a broad, multinational movement of like-minded individuals who share similar interests, whether that be combat sports, martial arts, physical exercise.
It's wild how they try to slant it just little bits, you know. Oh, we geolocated. No, you didn't geolocate anything. You just looked at the Lone Star Texas Active Club is not hiding from anybody. Things are different down there than they are up here. They don't have as many faggots as we do up here doing shit like this. Nobody cares. It's out in the open. You're not geolocating anything. Just says on their fucking Instagram page. Like they add their own tech. Like they know they're putting up where they are. They're not scared of you. You're not doing any giant detective work here. Like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? They're showing different regions. We located them to here. Faggots.
But also a similar ideology in that they want to establish a homeland for white people only.
So Second Sons is meeting up with a Texas active club, but that's just their first stop. We uncover ties to an even more important figure in this movement. This image appears to be taken in a sort of clubhouse for the Lone Star group. You might think that this is three Second Sons members. Check out this guy in the middle, though. We believe this is Robert Rundo.
When I first saw that picture, I laughed because despite the blurring, I knew it was Rundo right away. I mean, that's obviously Robert Rundo. There's no question.
Rundo is the founder of the Modern Active Club movement.
In 2024, he was sentenced to 2 years in prison for what U.S. prosecutors described as planning and engaging in riots at political rallies, in which Rundo and others pursued and assaulted other persons, and were later seen celebrating the assaults they had committed.
I've been investigating Robert Rundo since 2020. There had been a long legal saga at various points throughout that timeline.
Physiognomy check, please. Anyone?
And that I've been following him.
Here's why we think it's him. The watch in this video appears to be the same one as this image. And the tattoo blurred here is in the same shape and place as Rundo's tattoo in this other video. He's also appeared in this place before. Take this video of him preparing White Lad's monthly Sunday dinner.
I would describe him as...
Rob Rundo does a fucking cooking show? And I didn't know about this. I'm having to find out about this through fucking CBC, our state broadcaster. I need to step it up.
Well, the founder of the Active Club movement, he does have really the most senior role, much more of the strategic or ideological figurehead.
Next, Second Son's members hit the road, traveling from Texas to South Carolina. They're heading to American Muscle 2, part combat sports tournament, part...
I gotta look at that. Where are they pulling that up from? Like, is that just the Telegram post? Why are you making it seem like you're all official? Oh my god, look what we found. These are public statements being shared out. Why don't you just share the whole thing instead of making it seem like you're doing some detective work, like, they hit the road from Dallas. Poor work, guys. The only reason you're getting numbers on this CBC, and I'm not sure if you guys have realized this yet or not. The reason you're getting the big numbers on these videos instead of the rest of yours is because we're popular. Not because people think you're exposing white supremacists.
Road, traveling from Texas to South Carolina. They're heading to American Muscle 2, part combat sports tournament, part networking event. They meet there with clubs from across the U.S., like Great Lakes Active Club. You can see someone wearing the Second Son shirt in this promotional video put out by the organization running the event. That organization, Patriot Front, one of the United States' most notorious white nationalist groups.
Nothing even comes close to Patriot Front, so they're the. There's a reason why we... you know, learn from them, learn from other groups, and why we try to emulate some of what they do.
There is very likely a high degree of strategizing that is happening at these events, as well as deeper thinking as to how to propel the movement forward.
American Muscle 2 took place at a business called Dixie Republic. It describes itself as the South's largest Confederate store.
The actual model that they have adopted that is designed to radicalize and push individuals into white supremacists. These groups are ultimately seeking to undermine democracy and replace...
This guy here, I forget his name, but I remember his face. He works for the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, which is funded by an ultra-Zionist. I can look that stuff up again, but you guys could do the research.
Canadian values with a very strict fascist interpretation of the society they want to achieve.
I think the greater worry should be around, you know, the potential radicalization among the existing members and the existing core and leadership, a radicalization towards political violence.
So you think that these guys are going to radicalize us towards political violence? When none of them have committed political violence, you've been saying that we're going to commit political violence for the past fucking how many years now? How many years have you guys been trying to paint this narrative and we've never been charged with any? You've written stories and held guys in jail for fucking 2 years, which ended up being a storage charge just to paint your fucking narrative. The more you motherfuckers talk, the more you expose yourselves. We're not going anywhere.
We'll continue to keep an eye on groups and gatherings like this. If you have something you want us to investigate, email us at vi@cbc.ca.
vi@cbc.ca. Wonder if I should invite you guys to my party. Just let you know where we're going to be. Invite you out. This pig nose redheaded fuck looks like he could use some fascism in his life, to be honest with you. You could use some bros, dude. Think about it. Have you ever been punched in the face? Like, judging by that nose. Yeah, actually it does look like you've been punched in the face. But have you ever thrown a punch back? I think that's the difference. I think that's what happened to you. You got beat up without ever learning how to fight back. He's not a ginger? I don't know. That looks like a ginger to me. Do you think he dyes his hair red? Sleepy-eyed, pig-nosed. Wow. That's a fair-sized noggin you got on there, too, from the eyes up. Ears are a lot lower than your eyes, too. Anyways. I just see these as puff pieces now. Like, our applications go up. Every time you guys do a thing on us, we get bigger. It's this self-fulfilling prophecy that you just can't help yourselves about. Because the way they talk about it in that advertisement is that it's just implied that white people having their own homeland is the most sacrilegious thing possible. Like, it's just implied that that's bad. But most white people don't think that. They like to be with other white people and they want to be alone. So making that assumption when you're making these videos actually turns the viewer off. Why do brown people have a right to our homes? Why do brown people or Indians or an influx of people have a right to come to our homeland and use what our ancestors have built for us? That white privilege they like to talk about. You're not allowed to have anything as a white person. You're not allowed to have white privilege. You're not allowed to have a white homeland. Nope. You don't get to have that stuff. But we are going to take your tax money. We're going to take your tax money and disperse it how we see fit. In the meantime, like, while they're stealing from us, all of the politicians, feeding at the trough, thinking that the economy is doing so well that they deserve raises every time. When they're done stealing and taking money from every which corner of the earth, those people are going to have power in this country. I don't think it's fair that these people will be allowed to leave or will have the resources to be able to leave after they shit all over our homeland and allowed this brown poison to seep into our fucking, into our country. Because there is going to be a massive correction. White people can only stand so much disorder before they make a giant correction, and they don't care how bad it is to correct it. And you guys can probably see that in your daily lives. Not just daily, your entire lives. You've had these points where you've put up with so much shit for so long, and you're just like, fuck it. Fuck it. I don't care what happens. This has to end. This has to end, and I'm not putting up with it any longer. I'm not going to tolerate what I've been tolerating for so long. I've been taken advantage of, and I'm going to blow up. It's like guys, when they used to get divorced, they just say, fuck it. You can have everything. I'm just going to go start again. You can have it all. Take the house, take fucking the cars, take whatever. Take it. I'm going to start again. Or the job when you finally had enough and you make a giant exit. Just like Buddy there, fucking. he'd had enough with whatever those fucking Indians were doing, and just ended up losing his shit and mooning them. It was nice talking about a real leader for a little while there at the beginning, Mark. But now I got to show you this fucking goof of a man, Puck Daddy. Stupid that I even have to talk about him. You know what? I should try and find that video he put out on Facebook. Play it for you guys. I should find it before I play this one. So if you give me a second. It's probably on his Twitter, too. Let's see if I can find this. He can't help himself. He posts these videos everywhere. Because he's all about the clout. He's not about a fucking... Nope. Looks like he didn't put it on Twitter. You know why? Because he was probably talking using our talking points. Oh, Joey Jojo. Napoleon. I think this is the one. Oh, this is new. I didn't see this one. We'll watch it together. That's funny. I just caught him in another contradiction.
It's funny. People have this misconception that I'm out here trying to unite everyone. That's definitely not what I'm trying to do.
Somebody needs to clip that. Somebody needs to clip that because I know for sure that this cunt says he's trying to unite everybody.
People commenting, oh, why are you always dividing people? Well, it's because I'm not pandering to everyone. I'm not pandering to everyone like a politician.
Yeah, you are.
I'm out here trying to attract my own tribe. I'm trying to attract real patriots. This battle isn't cut out for everyone. Not everybody is going to be up for the task of what we're building here, okay? So you can go on and say, yeah, I'm here to divide. No, I'm actually just here to try to get you guys off your asses. Do something. I don't care if you join us. Just start organizing. Focus on your own location. Do something. I'm tired of people just talking online. It's fucking embarrassing. Everyone has their 2 cents. And that's the greatest thing about not having to answer to fucking nobody. I do what I feel is right. I do what I want to do. When you're a politician and you need to pander to everybody to get votes, that's not real. I don't pander to no one. I do what I need to do. Clearly. It's funny. People have this misconception that I'm out here trying.
What the fuck are you talking about, Joe? I've heard you literally say that. I'm trying to unite everybody. A Canadian is somebody who comes here and works hard. I guess I shouldn't be too... Maybe I shouldn't be too hard on him because it's fucking... He's starting to reiterate our talking points years after we've said them. So I guess he's tard farming in a way. It's just hard to watch a tard farm. Trying to find another one that he's done. Oh, here we go. This is the one.
Well, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Early, Adam. We're here. And I just had a tip for the young buck. If you have to post on your Facebook and ask people to post videos of the event you held, you didn't have an event, bro. Nothing happened.
Joe, I've seen the posts that you put up. You'll be sent hundreds of pictures of people. You'll put up five, and they're all of you. Always of you. You're posting pictures of you. You're self-absorbed. You want to be a leader and you want people to adore you, but you don't have a fucking plan. You haven't organized anybody. You get people from wherever that'll listen on the internet that'll show up. You hope they'll show up. They're not organized. You're just showing up, walking down the street, going for those very likes that you're complaining about somebody else doing right now.
When I have events with Canada First, I barely take videos myself, and it's everywhere. Because it's important. Because something actually materializes. Something happens.
What happened, Joe? What happened? Like, think about it. What have you changed, and what has happened since then? Other than likes that'll disappear in the fucking internet.
I don't waste people's time.
I beg to differ.
People need to stop taking direction from people who don't know how to direct, how to lead. Okay? It takes more than throwing up a post on social media and you're sitting back and you're going, oh, look at all these likes. Look at all these likes. Look at all these comments. Everyone's like, yeah, I'll be there. Tip for you, bud. Although I appreciate everyone pulling their weight, but here's a tip. Your like count, your comments, and your posts, they don't equate to bodies on the ground. They don't equate to boots on the motherfucking ground, kid. Take some tips from someone who's been doing it for way too long. And I say way too long. I shouldn't be doing this still.
You're doing the same thing.
It's time for Canada to get off their ass. I'm sick and tired of fucking pulling the strings for everyone while I do the dirty work.
Is that a dog taking a shit in the back? Oh, it's just sniffing something.
And people sit at home still while watching our country fall to the fucking ground. Anyway, June 6th, guys. I'm getting fired up. It's a fucking summer day out here. Canada First, June 6th. Second year anniversary. Big sellies. Big sellies.
Big sell. What do you mean? You're just going to go and show up and dance around for a little bit, aren't you?
Please, let's go.
Nobody's worried about your little protest, bud. You're having immigrants show up. You're having anybody and everybody handle the mic. Not influencing anybody. Nobody's worried about your little fucking protests that you have. All you're doing is costing the taxpayer money in the city. Because they have to bring a whole bunch of cops out. Because there's just as many people out there. There's probably more. You're down in Toronto. That want to see you get fucked up. Yeah, people want to see the Suns get fucked up too. But you're not actually changing anything, are you? You're not organizing. You're having a bunch of people come out and stand around with flags. And then you say you accomplished something after that. You don't have boots on the ground. You have loafers on the ground. You don't have people that can march for you, do things for you. They're out there. It's basically a support group for influencers. It's a support group for content creators. That's all it is when you go out there. At least when Suns do it, it's organized, it's real. We put out what we want to put out. It's real organization. Real foundations. Not fucking Indians and Muslims and people from other countries. And we support Israel and whatever fucking Maple MAGA and fucking next, it's fucking, what was Charlie First fucking thing? Charlie Kirk's thing. I forget his organization. Fuck. Anyways, he wanted to be the Canadian version of that for Charlie Kirk, and like, he just wants to be famous. That's it. You don't have any boots on the ground. That's it. TPSU? TPUSA? Turning Point. That's it. Yeah, he wanted to be Turning Point Canada and Maple MAGA and fucking support Israel and support everything. You need to do a little bit more learning about who you actually are and what your identity is before you can lead anybody, bud. Cheeky Jazz, thank you for the 10 subscriptions. Appreciate that. Anyways, here's another one from Beep Boop Waffen.
Protest signs that say we gotta save the country. Now I'm gonna say this really bluntly. I can see a hook nose shooting off his mouth about what Canada is all about. He says that this magic sand on the land is for migrants to colonize and expand. Here comes the programs from the TV screens. They scream the slogan, but don't know what it means. Not a single thought of their own in their head. All these fucking retards are the walking dead. They say that you have to respect the Pajit as they slip on their shit walking down the street. I don't fucking care for your base brown friend. Don't wanna see any of them here again. Hold my fucking beer. Here comes another queer that says he wants to save Canada. Just another fag with his hat and flag. Another faggot from Maple MAGA. You fucking faggot. I know you're too dumb to understand that we don't want them on our land. No, these are not Canadians. They are all fucking foreign aliens. No piece of paper will ever change. Take a look, bud, we're not the same. So to hell with these browns and blacks. I don't care, they have to go back. Oh great, here comes a new challenger. Every single month on the calendar, there's always some new shekel faces. Always flooding the nation with other races. You can see them rubbing their hands for politicians to meet their demands that we import several million and pay for them to become civilians. Well, how boot that air, bud? Hold my fucking beer. Here comes another queer that says he wants to save Canada. Just another fag with his hat and flag. Another faggot from Maple MAGA. Stupid bullshit will ever do is cause more people to notice the Jew, which is good because I'm getting tired of saying, pointing at every problem that the Jew is making. No one gives a shit for what they have to say, only brainwashed losers that are fake and gay. These hook-nosed psyops are stupid as fuck. I don't fucking care, now shut the fuck up. Hold my fucking beer. Here comes another queer that says he wants to save Canada. Just another fag with his hat and flag. Another faggot from Maple MAGA. You fucking faggot.
My whole entire half of my family is Jewish. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was from Beep Boop Waffen. Oh, I'm just going to roll one more, have one more beer, but I do want to talk about the party that I'm having, Bigot Fest. This will be the third official Bigot Fest, but now we're making it something so much more. So, come for the weekend, come for Friday, stay for Saturday, leave Sunday, get yourself breakfast Sunday. A big meal Saturday night and brunch on Saturday as well. We're going to have a pig roast, deep fried turkey, contests, pugil sticks, a couple of boxing matches, and lots of games. Knife throwing. There'll be a literal pissing contest besides the porta potties. They can go and put your flag out and see how far you've gone. There'll be prizes for people. But we do need you to RSVP. And God love you guys that tried to RSVP last week, but RSVP doesn't mean just sending me an email saying, I'm going to come. We need you guys to send the money for your tickets. It's $40 for the weekend, $20 just for the Saturday. And the more people that pitch in beforehand, the better the party will be, instead of showing up and trying to pay for your ticket then and there. The party will be a lot better if you send to this email down there, plaidarmy1@gmail.com, and you can send an e-transfer to the same email. Yeah, RSVP is different than LGBT. Don't be scared of it. It's not pronoun-based, this. Yeah, you can RSVP, say how many you're bringing, say if it's just for the Saturday, or just because if you send me $60, I'm not going to know if that's three tickets for just the Saturday, or, you know, it's one full weekend, one Saturday. So please be specific in the email. And yeah, I'm going to start sending out personalized invites as well. But that's the thing. I'm going to miss a few people, right? I know I am. I can't remember everybody. So no, there will be no penis hole. Well, I can't. If you're volunteering, I can't hold that against you, Burban. No. Well, it'll be distance and height, I think we'll try to go for. No, it's going to be a fun night. There's quite a few people that said they're coming or whatnot, but we need to start getting these RSVPs in so we can start planning for budgeting for the food and for the pugil sticks, American Gladiator style jousting. We're getting an actual inflatable ring so that it has the two platforms, you knock each other off, and we're gonna have different prizes. There's gonna be vendors there like Diagonalon, Second Sons, Operation Ensign. Like, I'll have a booth for my book probably, and said this before, there will be a booth there with affordable housing that's going to be built in the area that is going to be exclusive for certain people. We want you to be part of the community. We want to help people get out of the South, get away from that colonization that's been happening down in the GTA, and we can balkanize up here. These are real houses. They're not cabins in the woods. They're slab on grade and full concrete slab, two bedroom. I've looked at the plans. They're pretty cool. So they're going to be unveiled at the party. So there'll be a booth for that. And it's also a way for people to network. If you've got soaps, set up a booth. Like, it doesn't cost you anything to bring a table and set up a tent. It just costs you to eat. But you can sell your merch, your soaps, your stickers, t-shirts, your own brands. Come learn about the Second Sons. Learn about Operation Ensign. I haven't confirmed if Dominion Society is coming, but they're not going to want to miss this. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. Soap and lampshades. That would be funny. Whoever's out there making soap, you need to make some lampshades, and that's just fantastic marketing. It's not that one gets sold too much. It's like chicken and waffles, right? You could sell chicken, you could sell waffles, but you sell chicken and waffles, it's a fucking winning combination. So if you're going to sell soap, you want to sell lampshades. Silver Lynx is going to be there, so he's going to have a custom silver booth and show some people how to make it. It's going to be one for the ages. So RSVP, send an email to plaidarmy1@gmail.com, and you can send an e-transfer to the same email. Okay, if you're coming, get your tickets. Many hands make light work, so the more that RSVP, the more infrastructure we'll be able to have for the party, and I'm not going to have to pay out of pocket and demand money at the door. So, yes, it'll be in the North Bay area. So, not too far away from anywhere in Ontario. You guys can make it. It's centralized. But other than that, I think that's going to be a night, fellas, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think I have any other video. Oh, I got one more video I wanted to show you guys. Forgot this guy.
Now, I'm not the type of person to go to a city and then say, well, I'll never go back to that country. But my experience in Delhi, India was as close as I've ever gotten to having that feeling cross my head, and it's because of the incessant lying. Every day, just people trying to scam me. And literally on a daily basis, I would catch people lying, and their reaction was always the same. They would smile, and they would say, yeah, I was lying to you. No guilt, no remorse, not even an indication that dishonesty is a bad behavior. It's like every time I reach for my wallet, I was getting scammed. In Delhi, India, looking someone in the eye and telling them something you know to be untrue is part of the negotiation process. It's a cultural norm. And it is so tiresome. And so, as you can probably guess, my wife is a little bit more excited for this trip than I am. My wife has been on this idea that South India is far different than North India for a few years now, but seeing Russell Peters on Netflix kind of changed my mind and convinced me to give India another shot. So, now we will go to Mumbai. I'm a bit nervous.
It's his own fault. He's doing it to himself. But regardless, I thought that was funny. Yeah. So I hope you guys RSVP for the party. Be there. It'll be the fucking event of the year. I'll guarantee you that. I'll be there. Jeremy will be there. We'll try to drag Fairy out to it. So many other familiar faces are going to be there. I can't expose them all. Primo's coming. Yeah, it'll be one for the books, guys. So, you guys have yourselves a good night. Mark, we'll see you in the next life, buddy. Cheers to you. Well, good night, everybody. Cheers.
Invaders are making life too hard. Pajits are shitting in your yards. Shopping at any store is hell. Four walls hold that shit, skin smell. Curry shit, piss fills the air. Fucking Pajits everywhere. City's full and whites are pushed. Closer to living out in the bush. You think you're sheltered in your towns until it's flooded with fucking brown. So you move so fucking far away, hoping they won't come your way. But of course these cheats will find your place. All you see is their shit-stained face. Then one day they found their own home, and Ozzy bit them right to the bone. On his land, there's nowhere to go. Too bad that they're too dumb to know. Once they're there, they'll shit their pants, because they're trapped with Derek Rats. Now you're fucked. Truck, landmines blew six cheats to muck. Bubba came flying right through the air. Too bad ten cheats were unaware. He barked the skin clean off their bones, then kicked his paw right through their domes. 15 cheats tried to run away, but Ozzy made them sick.
with Derek Rouse.
Now you're fucked, Jeez. The last few Jeets were stuck in mud. He just laughed while in came a flood. Wash these Jeets straight to